Episode 161 of Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world manage risk and seize opportunities. Learn more at futuresfundamentals.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey everyone, before we get started today, I want to thank our sponsors. CME Group, Trading Technologies, and Top Step Trader. Now today I spoke with James Shin, CEO of Predata. Today Jim and I spoke about how he was one of the creators of the Political Volatility Index on Bloomberg, known as the PVIX. We discussed predicting pricing events in the market. We chatted about how Predata scans digital conversations and how futures traders use predictive data to trade. Finally, Jim told us why Predata sees an imminent correction coming in Bitcoin, and he shares why he has been long Bitcoin for the past 2 years. As usual, thank you all for listening, and please enjoy this episode. Jim, welcome to the show.
Anthony, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
It was great to speak with you today, Jim. It was a pleasure meeting you and some of your team at FIA Expo back in Chicago. Just a couple of weeks ago. And we had a great conversation. I've been really looking forward to really talking to you more about what you guys are doing at Predata here on Futures Radio Show. But before we begin today, Jim, tell us how you got your start in the industry.
I actually was teaching at Princeton in the School of Engineering and was noodling over solutions to predictive analytics. In other words, how could we use online media and discussions on the internet to predict the trajectory of events. And with a couple of my brightest students, we designed a couple of prototypes to explore the hypothesis that before people engage in collective action events, like a strike, for example, or a boycott, that they would discuss these on the internet, on social media, like Twitter and Wikipedia and YouTube, and more importantly, that they would do so in a characteristic pattern that we could recognize using machine learning. And in fact, that worked. We were quite good at predicting those kind of collected action events. But the transition to finance really came thanks to our friends at Bloomberg. The Bloomberg folks realized before we did that that the signals that we were gathering to predict these political risk events actually would be a pretty good index of aggregate political risk. And so they really launched us in the political risk business by asking us to provide them every day with a political volatility index, if you will, called the PVIX, that's available on the Bloomberg terminal. And I suspect all the folks that listen to your show have a Bloomberg, and they can tap it up, PVIX, if they want to look at it.
Wow, this is really
cool.
And
that's how we got started.
Yeah, I mean, how good does it have to feel to be able to basically see the future? I mean, that's what we as futures traders are trying to do all day long, is trying to predict what's going to happen. I mean, that had to really be a good feeling knowing that you accomplished something like that. I mean, and when you actually put the work in and then ultimately something that you thought was going to happen happened, I mean, talk to us about that moment a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it was really gratifying when we first proved that we could predict mining strikes in South Africa, and we could do so with an accuracy that allowed us to go long platinum, for example, when the probability was quite high. And in fact, that's how a number of our clients use Predata. They look for possible events like a mining strike, for example, in Chile, and then take the appropriate position in copper.
Wow. I know you mentioned to me in a prior conversation, it's basically news before the news, and we're going to talk more about that in today's conversation. But before we get into some topics, I also would like for you to discuss what your current role is right now at Predata.
I'm the CEO of a 24-person company, but I think the average age is probably 25, which is a lot younger than I am. So, when you're the CEO of a high tech company consisting of 25-year-olds in a black T-shirt and hoodies, it doesn't mean exactly the same thing as it did back in Silicon Valley when I was there in the 80s and 90s. This is called millennial management.
Yeah, it's a different day and age right now. And speaking of a different day and age, I remember when I first started trading in this business, we looked up at one board that had news and it had data, and that was it. We'd be in the pit and we'd be able to react off of one headline. And we would really hope that that news would be accurate because that was the only news we were counting on. Nowadays, you have multiple news networks 24 hours a day, Twitter, blogs, all different other forms of social media. And I know for myself, who's been a trader for a lot of years, it's so hard to gauge sentiment. It's really difficult. I mean, you don't know who to believe, who is right. Everybody's got these opinions, and a lot of it is in facts. So it's challenging, to say the least, to determine, you know, what is going to happen in any sort of given event. Talk to us about how Predata works. I mean, we're not asking for everything here, Jim. We just want to understand how it works and how you ultimately get to an outcome to say, okay, we think X should happen.
Well, I'll give you a really good example of that, which is we have a signal set, for example, about Japanese monetary policy that we use to, or that our clients use to try to anticipate big moves in, for example, the yen dollar rate. But both spot and future, of course. And in that, this Japan monetary policy signal is actually a bundle of several hundred individual digital conversations that take place in Twitter, on YouTube, Wikipedia, and some online newspapers and magazines, mostly in Japanese. And what we do is, we, for each of these individual digital conversations, we create a time series with a value each day that we collect that measures how many people are, for example, following this particular Japanese language Twitter conversation. And of those who are following it, how much do they agree or disagree? In other words, how much volatility or contestation is the phrase we use, is there regarding this particular conversation? And so when we bundle all these together using what we call, by gathering the metadata of these conversations, we have a sense of both how many people are in this conversation about Japanese monetary policy and how loud it is, if you will. And over time, by regressing that time series over the actual price events that we care to predict, let's say a two sigma move in the 30-day forward yen dollar rate, we can get a pretty accurate prediction of whether such an event is going to reoccur in the next week, 14 days or 30 days. Now, why is that, right? I mean, to answer your question, why? Well, how can we pick up the intensity of this conversation and which way it's going before it makes it onto the Bloomberg or to Reuters? And I think it goes to that very phrase you used, which is that we are considered to be the news before the news. As these digital conversations ripple across the net, at some point they get picked up by the curated media, you know, by Bloomberg or by Reuters, and they get fully priced in. But we detect them, and we detect the trajectory of those conversations before they're fully priced in. And that's the advantage that we bring to our clients.
I love it. And I guess I'm wondering how you know what to be looking for, because as you said, if you're news before the news, what signal are you getting that something's being discussed that all of a sudden you need to look into?
Well, so the Japanese, our Japanese monetary policy signal is a really good example of that. So It's not sampling thousands of people. It's only sampling the people who are considered to be the most careful observers of Japanese monetary policy. For example, like the two or three reporters in the Nikkei Shimbun in Tokyo who are assigned to the Bank of Japan watch. So, and we know who those folks are. And there's also a handful of Wikipedia pages. All these are in Japanese, by the way. Since we use metadata, we're independent of languages. So the Japanese signal is as clear to us as it would be in English. We're following each of these digital conversations on a daily basis. It's analogous to if you were a trader interested in yen dollar, like you said before, you would read every blog, you would follow every tweet, you'd go back and check out the Wikipedia pages and the YouTube videos, and you could do that all day long, and you couldn't keep up now with the amount of digital conversation that's taking place. So in a sense, we're the news before the news because we're distilling down into a comprehensible signal these hundreds or thousands of digital conversations that otherwise you would like to follow, but simply don't have enough time in the day to do so. Since if you're a futures trader, you know, you have a day job.
Yep. No, I understand. So it goes back to, I think, we look at price, at least I do. I think a lot of futures traders let price tell us what is going to happen heading into an event. You mentioned, you know, the Bank of Japan, and like, let's just say that we're looking at, you know, what's going to happen in an election or in a FOMC meeting. I'll look at price, right, to say what I think the market is thinking may happen. So because we're focused on that. And you guys are gauging sentiment through your channels, I guess, in a similar way that we are. I mean, I'm not doing it nearly as sophisticated, but I think that it's the same idea. It's the same premise. So how are your futures clients using pre-data? And also talk to me a little bit about specifically what areas that you're focused on. Are you leaving it up to the customers, or are you guys focusing on a wide range of things and then letting your customers choose what channels they want to follow?
Well, to answer your last question first, we provide the system preloaded with all these country signals and all these sort of currency and commodity signals, which they're welcome to use. But the important point is they can modify the pre-data system to either add signals which they think are more important or more appropriate for a particular asset or a futures market. And they can input their own events. So at the end of the day, it's a general purpose predictive platform. But we do preload it for our financial clients to get them down the curve very quickly. How do they use it? There's really two ways they currently trade, and there's a third way that we're working on that may ultimately turn out to be the most attractive for your futures customers. A direct trade way that people use the pre-data signal for to make money has to do initially with the correlation between pre-data signals and past asset changes. So one classic example is to take, for example, the pre-data Saudi Arabia country signal, right? So Saudi Arabia is the swing producer for oil. So whenever things get volatile in Saudi Arabia, on balance, you'd expect Brent, both spot and future, to go up, right? That turns out to be the case. So we have clients who basically draw a Bollinger Band around the pre-data Saudi signal, which is to say a 2-sigma band around the moving average. And every time the pre-data signal breaks out of that 2-sigma band, they go long Brent. And it turns out that simple strategy, relatively simple strategy, depending on who the trader is, has a pretty good sharp ratio. So that's an example of a pretty straightforward trade. Another way people trade with Predata, for example, is trying to predict events in the future, like the mining strikes in Chile, and then going long copper. In fact, Predata has successfully predicted the 5 of the last 6 Chilean mining strikes in the last 18 months. So we had some happy clients because of that. But in the long run, probably the most profitable application of Predata to futures will be comparing, as you said, the implied volatility pricing for any particular asset, particularly foreign exchange or commodities, with the distribution of likely outcomes that you get from the sort of from the Predata lens. And we haven't productized that, but it does appear that for quite an interesting set of currencies and commodities, that we may do a sufficiently better job than the implied vol market to make that a very interesting tool for futures guys.
Yeah, well, very, very interesting. I want to talk about some of your forward guidance that you have sent to me in the past couple of weeks. Like I said, we just met a couple of weeks ago, and I've been very impressed. This stuff is really interesting to me. I didn't even really know this existed, to be honest with you, that people were doing what you were doing. And one of the things that I think the first letter you sent to me said, after Draghi speaks, the euro will go down. This was on the latest ECB meeting, which was on October 26th. I was reading this and I'm going, this is pretty bold, man. I don't know. You know, this euro is going to go down after Draghi speaks. That's what you guys believe what was going to happen. And I was like, okay, let's see what happens here. And I was watching it. I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. And I'm like, okay, one for one. Then I get another one that says Paul Manafort is most likely to be the one to be indicted. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, let's see. I mean, I was reading a lot of things. I'm like, yeah, a lot of people think that that's the case too. But let's see what happens here, because you just really never know. And sure enough, he comes out and gets indicted. I'm like, okay, two for two. I'm impressed. I need to pick your brain, right? What's going on here? Well, I need to know more. Right? Yeah. Once you start to see these things work, all these different ideas go in my head on how I'm going to be trading these things. And I love information like this. And the latest one you mentioned to me was also how you said, and I'm going to let you comment on these, you have a really good idea who you think is going to be the Fed chair, and you also have some thoughts on Bitcoin. Let's start with the Fed chair.
Yeah, we're actually quite confident that Jerome Powell and Taylor are the two leading candidates, and it's not because we read about it in the New York Times, but because the digital conversation for Powell, particularly the Wikipedia discussion for Powell, just went through the roof within the past 2 days. Leaving, by the way, Kevin Warsh like way down in the dust. So, you might quibble. Well, is just the level of interest in Powell? How will that, how does that measure the odds that he's actually going to be selected? But it turns out that historically, for these kind of one-off events, the digital momentum of these candidates is a pretty good predictor of the outcome. But there's nothing to do with policy or policy preferences. Actually, I know John Taylor from Princeton, where he was a rather famous professor of economics before he went out to Stanford. But according to the digital traffic, it looks like Mr. Powell will get the nod. You mentioned the Draghi, that interesting call on the euro USD. We for the Predata signal, for example, for the euro, we have one for European monetary policy, just like we have for Japanese monetary policy. The pattern of digital chatter that precedes big moves in the currency pair actually peaked on October 12th, which was 2 weeks before the ECB meeting. So when we see that pattern historically, we expect to see a downward move. And lo and behold, if you'd followed our guidance, you'd have made some money.
And talk to me about the Paul Manafort. How did you come across that?
Exactly the same way. The intensity of the digital discussion on Manafort was through the roof. It was about as of when we made the call, the digital intensity of the Manafort discussion was 4 times higher than Flynn, and 5 times higher than Carter Page, that hapless advisor. Whereas Kushner and Sessions were still flatlined. So we made the call.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Now, Bitcoin. A lot of people have opinions about Bitcoin, but you guys have specifically.
I'm really nervous about this one. I'm nervous about all of these, but we make these calls because even though we're not traders, because we're helping to establish proof, the validation of the methodology. The Bitcoin is a tough one, and. We, even though we're very pleased at the price, since a lot of us have been long Bitcoin for a while, Bitcoin and Ethereum, we were looking rather carefully at the digital discussion that underlies these signals. And Sam Lee, who is one of our brightest quant analysts, observed that the nature of the underlying digital discussion in Bitcoin has changed substantially. That back when it was at the $4,000 and $5,000 level, there was a consistent pattern of digital discussions on Bitcoin in our Bitcoin signal, talking about technical aspects of the phenomena, things like blockchain databases and hyperledgers, that kind of stuff. The recent conversation has been, if you will, much more superficial. It appears to be a lot of people for the first time trying to explore what is Bitcoin on various blogs and Wikipedia and even looking at YouTube, from which we infer that there's not as much, if you will, technical support underlying the digital discussion in our Bitcoin signal than there was before, which, it's kind of a leap of faith from that to the assertion that that we're likely to see a downtick. But on balance, it's a reasonable assumption to make. We actually are working on a predictive analytics closer study of our Bitcoin signal and moves in Bitcoin, and for that matter in Ethereum. So we'll come out with that probably in another 2 weeks. On the basis of this, I just sold some Bitcoin.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more
like
about
like a lot of Bitcoin.
So a couple of things. One is the difference between Bitcoin and the other things we mentioned, from Draghi to Paul Manafort. You talked about things that were happening in Japan. Those had an end date. Basically, we knew when Draghi was speaking. We knew when we were going to hear who was going to get indicted from Mueller. With Bitcoin, we don't have an end date. So I guess the question I have is pretty simple. How do we know the timing of this? I mean, could Bitcoin run another 2,000-3,000 points or something, and then ultimately it rolls over? Or when you make these types of calls, is it much more imminent for this to potentially happen?
That's really interesting. We have a sense that the sweet spot for these signal-based asset change positions are somewhere between 2 weeks and a month, so between 2 and 4 weeks. And whether it's at the close end or the far end of that window really varies by asset type, by currency, and by commodity. That would suggest that if our call here is correct, that it'll be closer in rather than way down the road.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So you have a window of when it will happen. So that was really what I was wondering. Hey, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the show so far, but I want to pause and thank one of our sponsors, Trading Technologies. I started using TT in the year 2000, and I love it. It is by far the best trading platform I have ever used, and I've tried a lot of them. With TT, you can trade the global markets from virtually anywhere in the world. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. So if you're a trader, what are you waiting for? I highly suggest you go try out TT, especially because you can try it for free. Just go to tryttnow.com and set up your account. Now, I want to go back to you've been long Bitcoin and Ethereum. Why? What made you get into that trade?
Oh, I've been long Bitcoin for a couple of years now. Bitcoin is just intriguing to engineers because of the underlying blockchain technology. You know, it just looks so great. We always figured it was just a matter of time until it was appreciated to be not just as a store of value, but also as a transactions medium. That said, much of the recent surge in Bitcoin is probably people still looking for it as a store of value rather than as a transactions medium. But anyway, that's the reason for so I initially got long because of that sort of technical appeal of the blockchain, and I shorted it. I sold it because of our analysis of the signals.
Yeah, because Predata is predicting a possible reversion back. Very interesting stuff, Jim. I mean,
this could turn out to be really embarrassing, right? Because this is, you know, this Bitcoin call is not as sophisticated, as statistically sophisticated as a lot of our other calls, right? This is more due to the text. This is more based on the texture of the underlying conversations rather than a regression of the time series still against historical price events. When we run that regression the next time, I'll be sure to let you know. I hope it turns out that we were right on this call.
I've learned as a trader, if you're not getting embarrassed every now and then by what you think is going to happen in the market, you're just not trying hard enough. You're not sticking to your guns. Jim, just from the small piece that I have watched what you guys are doing, I love it. I'm so interested in this. Talk to our listeners about where they can learn more from you guys on maybe social media, and maybe give us a website to check out as well.
Well, the website, we have a Twitter handle, but the website's the best way to get started, and they can also leave their own contact information if they want to get, for example, put on this on our weekly forecasts that are pulled together by the Redoubtable family. The website is www.predata.com, P-R-E-D-A-T-A, which of course stands for predictive data. And I have to say that when we talk to our clients, and we sort of basically license the software to our financial clients, usually about 5 minutes into the conversation, after they figure out how many calls we make correctly, they say, well, if you guys are so smart, why don't you set up a hedge fund? And so the answer is, we're very good software engineers, but we're not nearly as smart as successful traders or hedge fund managers. So we look forward to hearing from your radio audience via the internet.
I mean, everyone has to do what they're good at, and knowing what you're good at and sticking to that is really is everything. I've learned in my career that, you know, I'm good at trading a certain way, and when I veer off that, I'm not nearly as good as I thought I was. But Jim, I really appreciate you sharing a lot of this with us today. And one final question I have for you is, I'm sure we have a lot of individual traders out there that are wondering, is this just for bigger groups, or is this also for independents? Is there a range of pricing for traders to get in and get involved with Predata?
We haven't figured that out yet. I mean, really, to date, we deal with basically global macro hedge funds. They're our core clients. But if we hear from some talented individual traders, I'm sure we could probably cook up a introductory aggressively priced offer for them. We're really quite eager to get this into the hands of as many smart traders as we can, particularly the futures guys.
Gotcha. No, I appreciate that, Jim. All right, Jim. Thank you again so much for coming on Futures Radio Show. I really enjoyed this conversation, and I look forward to watching more of your forward guidance in the future, and I look forward to having more conversations with you as well.
Great. Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.